Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoMob Podcast. My guest today was a recent speaker at the GeoMob Berlin in early June. In fact, not just a speaker, but the winner of the Best Speaker Prize. Big welcome to Dave Whittingham, who is going to tell us all about his project Kreuzungen. But we have one other treat. Dave just spent the weekend or the last few days at State of the Map Europe. So he's also going to give us a bit of an overview of what went down there. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thank you very much, Ed. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm curious to hear, I guess let's first chat about State of the Map Europe since it's fresh in your memory. What went down there?
Okay, so really interesting for me. They were obviously talking about the future of open street maps. And there were some really cool projects. One that inspired me a bit was the waterways map.
Okay, very relevant to Kreuzungen, of course, which we'll talk about.
Extremely relevant, yeah. So it was good to be with another waterway, or to learn from a OpenStreetMaps waterway expert there. And then there were talks on like vector tiles. So vector tiles with OpenStreetMaps is kind of a big thing.
Yeah, it's a big project.
Yeah, so they're officially like making the big push. And then it's talking about how they're going to do that. Lots of other interesting things. Some talks from the HOTS, so like the Humanitarian OpenStreetMaps team, about how they use an AI to help the mappers, not to replace them, but to help them be really efficient and produce some good work.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, okay. It was a great weekend.
Well, hopefully we can get some of these folks to come along to either here on the podcast or ideally also to GeoMob events in whatever cities, and we can learn more about them. But let's get into your project, Dave. Let's not leave the listeners in suspense as to what exactly Kreuzungen is. Maybe, right? Just tell us, what is Kreuzungen? What is this crazy thing?
Okay, so Kreuzung is a German word, and you as the official German, maybe I can get you to give your definition of that or translation in English.
Kreuzung is crossings, I would say, or connections, I would say.
Exactly. So Kreuzung is a little website that I made, and people can upload their GPX track onto it. And it is a tool which tells you which rivers you've crossed.
Okay. What I particularly liked about this talk, Dave, and also why I voted for it as the best speaker talk, and it deservedly won against some good competition, was it's a hobby project. It's a project you just made just for laughs. And to learn and things. And I often find those are the best talks. So take us through the history. What prompted this type of...
Okay, yeah. So the story is I was in London last year. I was at a conference. And I'm really passionate about riding my bike. So I set myself a challenge. Like, okay, let's cycle back from the conference. And yeah, that's what I did. So on Thursday, I used Komoot to like plan my route on the way back. And on Thursday afternoon, I left the conference. Sorry, Ed. And then I cycled to the port in England. I took the ferry, and then, yeah, I spent 3 days cycling. So I crossed the Netherlands, and I managed to make it back to Berlin on Sunday.
So it's not a short journey. What's the total distance?
I'd have to look it up, but it's something...
It's like 1,000 kilometers, or...?
Let's say 1,000 kilometers, yeah.
Okay.
A megameter.
a megameter.
One single megameter.
The rarely used megameter unit. Okay.
Yeah, so basically I saw a lot of beautiful things along the way. I enjoyed some time on my bike, and I crossed many rivers. And at a certain point, I kind of asked, okay, which rivers have I actually crossed? And then the idea came to me, yeah, you can build something to solve this. You're already recording the data of where you've been. You're inside this kind of geospatial tech bubble, and you know about OpenStreetMaps, so you know where to get data from. And surely, with a little bit of time, you can make a tool to answer this question. So then I got really curious about it. I thought, okay, how do I solve this for myself? And then I had some time. I started with it. Basically, that is the kind of history of Kreuzenum.
So don't leave us in suspense. How many waterways did you actually cross on this 1,000-kilometer journey?
So it's up for debate, but at the time I crossed 243 waterways.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and what's the debate? I guess it's in what is classified as a waterway, is that it?
Yeah, so just for the listeners out there who don't know, OpenStreetMaps is like a collaborative project. It's like Wikipedia, but for geospatial data. So what that means is at the time that I did the ride, I went over 243 waterways marked on OpenStreetMaps at that date. Maybe since then, someone in a little village somewhere in Germany noticed that there was a waterway missing, and they went and they added the waterway there. So that would have been an extra waterway. The data is somewhat fluid.
Well, as someone who works with OpenStreetMap data daily, this would be my first technical question, is how do you... The genius of OpenStreetMap is that anything can be tagged with anything. And the pain of OpenStreetMap is that anything can be tagged with anything. So people are tagging things in all different ways, to including making just mistakes and typos, but also just general disagreements of, what consists of, what is a waterway, or whatever, how should it be tagged, or things like that. So I could imagine it would be the first challenge would be just even getting a good data set to work with. How did you go about that?
Really good point. For me, it was quite simple because of if you go into OpenStreetMaps onto the wiki, you can look at the waterway tag, and it is not that disputed. If it's something about like you have to have a flowing body of water. So that means that everything from the Nile to like a little stream somewhere or a canal or a rapid, they are all covered by this single kind of waterway tag. And it is a good question you ask, because I thought as well, okay, let's make an app which tells you how many landmarks you go by. Now, what a landmark is much more open to debate and vague to what a waterway is. Very good point that you ask, but waterways are one of the better defined things on OpenStreetMaps. And that's just because it's quite like a natural thing. I think there isn't much cultural opinion on what makes a waterway. I could say here, I'm based in Germany at the moment, the Spree is definitely a river. And I'm pretty sure someone the other side of the world, if they have a moving body of water, they will agree that it's a river.
Okay, well, that's good to hear that it's straightforward to get the waterways. Then what happened? What's next?
Okay, yeah, so I, with this tool... let me just start. So first I had the idea, okay, I solved this. And then I have a lot of background in geospatial data engineering. So there are a few ways that I thought about solving this. I thought, okay, I can download the data. I can use Python. I can just give myself a list. But I actually wanted to build something which could be done in the browser. So I use actually MapLibre to display waterways, and I built a little tool, like a little website, that anyone can upload a GPX file to, and then it would process it in the browser using a great library called TURF, and everything would be done there. And that worked. That was like remarkably, I'm not going to say easy, but all of the pieces fit really well together. So I didn't have to do too much work. And then I sent it to a friend and they're like, yeah, it looks cool, but what's a GPX file?
Right. Well, this is one of the key points that you made in your talk back at the event in June, which frankly is the reason I wanted to get you on the show, Dave, because it was an interesting observation that, you know, you have this technical geospatial background, and so you thought this would be some big, complex technical issue, and figuring out, you know, how did you cross that boundary or polygon or whatever. And the reality is all of those, the data is available and the tools are available. And it was much more a case of gluing the pieces together and then making a tool that people can understand. And I think there's a metaphor here for many, many people in the geospatial community, because increasingly we have exceptionally powerful tools. And those tools work better and better, you know, with each other, and there are standards for how we pass the data around and things like that. And yet, where we often fall short is on the communication of the tool and marketing the tool, explaining the tool, making the tool easy to use. So maybe tell us about some of your challenges there.
Yeah, cool. So you make a really good point. Like the problem that I was trying to solve, let's say, when does one line cross another line? That is solved. So I didn't need to implement anything there. And I thought I would also have to implement some kind of functions to convert between different geospatial data types, but that already solved. So it was just, okay, like, do you know the tools, or can you find the tools out there? Are they easy to stick together? And that was, like, we are in the golden age of geospatial tech in terms, or open source tech in terms of, like, everything I could imagine was just out there. I brought it into my project and it worked pretty seamlessly. But to your point about, okay, how did I kind of make the tool accessible? So in the talk, I put up a picture of my mum and her running group. And I said, okay, this is my mom. She's a really nice woman. But she's not a geospatial expert in any way. Like, she doesn't know what a GPX file is. No disrespect, mom, if you're listening to this. But yeah, so my mom, she is a running group. And when she goes running, she records it using Strava. And Strava is a cool app. There's lots of geospatial stuff going on in the background. It's really impressive, actually. But for my mom, she doesn't care. She doesn't need to know. She's just happy that she can press start. She can go for a run, press stop. And then she can maybe, yeah, send a link to her son in Berlin. And I can give her a thumbs up. So this is to say, my mom doesn't know what a GPX file is, but I wanted her, and I wanted everyone to be able to use my website, not just geospatial experts. The next thing I did was implement a integration through Strava. And Strava is, we can add a link into the show notes so people can actually check out what it is. But it's a platform. It's a platform where people upload their activities, and they have a API. They have a whole ecosystem of, like, apps which use this API. And I registered for an API key. I set up the authentication so that when someone goes on Kreuzenong.world, they can just press this Strava button in the corner, sign on, give me the permissions to look at their data. And then instead of having to think about, okay, what file do I upload? They literally just press the orange button. And then they're like, let's use my run from Thursday at this time. And then everything is automated. It gets downloaded to the page, and then they see how many rivers they went over.
Very nice. I have to admit, I'm aware of Strava, but I'm not a Strava user. And I had not appreciated how easy they made it to extract your own data out, but then also to do this kind of OAuth system to let other people share their data with your service. So, and then afterwards in your document, I mean, Strava is actually really quite big. I mean, it has like millions of users. So, very nice.
Yeah. Maybe we want to talk about that. So then, okay, the website was built. It was, let's say, easy for people to use. But I had the idea that when someone creates an activity on Strava, that, okay, maybe we can redo this last 20 seconds, Ed.
Go ahead.
Do you want to ask me about the webhook thing or about the update?
No, just go ahead, Dave, you're way out thinking it. Just go ahead. Just tell us.
Okay, so restart. So yeah, I built the site. I made it easy for people to use their Strava data with. But the next level, so at that point, Kreuznung.world, it's not like a business. It's not some tool which, it's a fun thing to use. It's maybe a little bit interesting to people, but it's not going to change the world. So I imagine it's the kind of thing that someone would find. They go on for a couple minutes, maybe they send it to their friend, and then that's it. They move on with their life. But I've seen things in Strava, which inspired me a little bit. So there's some apps out there. One of them is called Summit Bag. There's another one called Wanderer.Earth. And they are integrated in Strava in such the way that when you save your activity on Strava, they will process it, and then they will actually update the description with maybe some cool feature. So I thought, okay, let me do exactly that. When someone goes for a run, they don't have to think about uploading their file to Kreuznung.world.
I see. So what, there's some sort of, you, once they've authenticated with Kreuznung or something, you get a notification when they go on a new ride or whatever, and then you automatically populate the waterways that they cross, or the number of waterways, is that it, or something? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So it's Strava. I created a webhook. For everyone who is, who authorized my little app, when they load something, my little backend is aware of it, and then it processes it. And if they give me the permissions, I also update it. So they get a really nice message which says, hey, I went over 65 rivers today, and then the names of them.
All right. And okay. So then what, everyone in their Strava feed, anyone who is their friend or whatever, can see Bob crossed 10 rivers or something.
Exactly. And there's a little link at the end as well. So that happened. And because of the way that Strava is a bit like a social network, it snowballed a bit. So I had a couple of people using it originally, just my friends. And then their friends started using it. Some other people found it, and it really took off without me kind of doing any work.
Wow. Okay. And the system held up. It continued to work well. I mean, even if people are putting in I guess you did a 1,000-kilometer trip. I guess most trips are pretty much shorter than that. So.
The system keeps up. It's a super lightweight backend.
Good for you, Dave.
One day I did get an email, though. I was on a bike ride with my friend Chris, and then we finished, and it was a big one. And he's like, hey, your thing's broken. It didn't update my my ride. And at the same time, I got an email from fly.io, where I host my back end, and they're like, hey, you ran out of memory.
So it'll become too popular.
The bike ride was too big. It didn't fit in memory with all of the river data.
So how many people are using this now? I mean, can you share any numbers, or do you want to... How many waterways has everyone crossed in total?
Yeah, it would be hundreds of thousands of waterways now.
Well done, everyone. Well done. But how many riders do you have total?
So I've had a few thousand people go on the website.
Oh, that's cool.
This is like unexpected. It was something I made for my own curiosity, and it's nice. It's quite a nice story about how beautiful the internet can be at some time.
Well, that's very interesting how you... I have to say, having done GeoMob, I often mention this, but you know, now after about 15 years, I often find that the most interesting projects are the ones that are using geospatial to, you know, exposing geospatial coolness to normal people. You know, exactly. You know, and here we have a great example. So, as you said, your mother doesn't have any geospatial background or whatever, and yet she still, you know, can get the benefit of all these tools and things. So, and are people continuing to use it, or is it just kind of? I mean, it's kind of interesting to know how many waterways you cross, but it's not. I mean, it's kind of a gimmicky thing, right? I mean, like, what?
It is a
what's
big
the long term plan for?
So people are still using it. I have more people using it every day, and I have even people contacting me with feature requests. Some people kind of want some more things out of this, some gamification. I don't know.
And seeing people starting to modify? Are people starting to modify their trips so they cross more waterways? You know, they're like zigzagging back and forth across the river or whatever, just to rack up the score. Or?
I'm sure there's someone in there who's trying to maximize their river crossings now. I go back to your previous point though. So for me, it was really beautiful because, I put the pieces together. But actually, the big thing this is based on is OpenStreetMap data. So I wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't for the community. And we talked about, like, I pulled in all of these tools. These are all open source. And so it's this kind of nice thing that I can use some open data with some open tools. And I put it out to the world. It's not really costing me anything because I'm using, very cheap server to host things on. I just created this really for myself and I put it out there, and now I see people using it in Russia and China and Japan, and these are the things that I had no expectation from, and I can't really take credit or give myself credit for this, but it's nice to see, and it's nice to have a feel of, the internet, many people can come together and contribute something, and we agree that it's somewhat gimmicky, but some people are using this, so
no, it's quite cool. Your point is entirely valid. Congratulations to everyone who's contributed to OpenStreetMap and everyone who has corrected the data and made the data usable. That's fantastic. So what's next, Dave? What's on the agenda for Kreuzungen? Is this going to be... Have you found your passion? You're going to be counting waterways the rest of your life, or is this going to be a business? Is this a side project? Where does it go from here?
This is going to stay as a passion hobby project. There are many ways this could go right now, but I'm quite happy that it works. I don't really want to make it too complex. The two requests that I've got, or the two main requests, one is that I should include more more types of anemone. So instead of just crossing rivers, people are interested how many churches did I ride by?
I see.
Or
yeah.
How many? Yeah, you can imagine.
You could have other categories, sure.
Yeah, so that is one option, but it does make it arguably more complex. I like the simplicity in the way it is at the moment. And then the other thing, many people have asked for some kind of like challenge aspect out of this. And we spoke a little bit before about this this idea that some people in the bike world, they do something called Everesting. Right, it's like for fun, they try and rack up in one single ride 8,000 or 8,000 plus meters of altitude on a single hill because they want to do the challenge. I told you that someone even did this in a car park in Berlin here, which is like, okay, like,
yeah,
pointless, but still cool.
Impressive, you know, but like also kind of a cry for help, but okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to judge. I think it's pretty cool. So a few people have said, hey, I want to have a challenge. I want to know how many rivers I crossed in the whole of this country. And there is a kind of hidden feature if you cross all of the rivers in a region, so in a city, yeah, let's say, according to OpenStreetMaps, then you will be put on the Hall of Fame. So I need to come up with a name for it. Maybe you can suggest something.
And wait, let me ask you, does Strava give you some way that you can make the app, you can charge money for the app? Is that integrated in Strava, or you would have to do that yourself outside of Strava in some way? So
they don't have a kind of way to like donate money if you're using this feature, but the other big apps in this ecosystem, they do have like paid for features, some of them.
I see, but you would need to implement that outside of the, it's not native to Strava per se.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Very, yeah. Very cool.
But I should say, Ed, that I am really happy with this. And one of the cool things was that, we both work in tech. So a lot of people, by definition, people who work in tech, they make money out of tech. But it was quite fun to do something just for interest and to not really like ask or expect money back or anything like that. And I would actually recommend more people to do something just out of interest. Not every tech idea has to be a bit like a money maker, a business. And
you're entirely correct, of course, Steve. That's how most learning happens, is through play. So you just start playing around and then you see where things go. So very well done. Very cool, cool project. What would be the best way for people to learn more?
Thank you. So anyone who wants to get in contact with me, they can send me an email. So info@kreuznung.world or contact@davidwittingham.com. And I have a blog post coming out with a lot more technical details. So if people are interested in actually how it works and how I built the app in such a way and how I made technical decisions, you can go on davidwittingham.com and you can wait for that.
You should think about doing a write-up at some point, like a behind-the-scenes post that explains how it works. I think that would be very useful for people.
Okay, I will do a write-up then. There will be one out
not to make work for you, not to leave you with an assignment here, Dave, but you already have the slides from your talk that went into some detail on it. So it is a very cool project, and I encourage obviously anyone out there who's a Strava user and riding a bike should try it out. But I think it's a useful example for all members of the GeoMob community about, as you say, about learning through experimentation and play. But also, I think I have to say, at least for myself, as I said, I was aware of Strava, but I wasn't really aware it was this simple to kind of create services that others could use to upload their data, to interact with their data, and start showing off some cool geospatial features. So in that regard, I think it's a great example for everyone. You know, I guess let's close. I'll say good luck to everyone out there who's using Crowdsong. I hope may you cross many waterways. may you never cross the same waterway twice. Or I don't know what the appropriate exit is here, but I think you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. So.
Don't burn bridges.
For God's sake, man, don't burn any bridges. Okay. All right. On that note, thank you again, Dave, for coming on the show, and I will see you soon. I hope at the latest at the next GMR Berlin.
I will be there. Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, Ed. Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. While you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. Hope to see you at an event soon.